Okay, it's red, so we're supposed to be hot.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here together and in your word. And we're grateful for the truths that we learn when we relate to your word. And we're thankful that we can see things more and more the way you see things as the Holy Spirit illumines us to your truths. And we just pray now that your Spirit would guide and teach as we continue. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so Paul assumes that the reader's to be spiritual, and he doesn't want them to get sidetracked. And so when we come to Colossians 3:16, let's read Colossians 3:16 and verse 17, and then we'll come back. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, the article that you don't see that I want to emphasize from the Greek is, "Let the word of the Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing," the King James reads "one another." It's a reflexive pronoun. We'll compare this to another verse that we have over in Ephesians, and I would just translate it as the reflexive pronoun. "Just teaching and admonishing yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing by grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, even the Father," not by him, but through him. And so that's important, through him. And so here we've been talking a lot about position in this little epistle. And when I, by interpretation, understand the word of or concerning the Christ, I'm understanding it to be a reference to Christ as the head, along with the body as one. Now, remember, let me just point out a couple things. This is context work, but I'll just point this out. In verse 15, remember, he said, "To which also you are called in one body." One body. When we have one body, there's one head. Now, we also read, "giving thanks to the Father through him." It's through our position in Christ that we can communicate to the Father out from his right hand. You're going to see as it flows down in the context, he's talking about the body. And so in verse 18, he says, "as is fit in the Lord," as is proper in the Lord. He's talking here to wives. In verse 20, he says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." And so here you see this relationship between the body and the head. And so I think these are all little pointers. There's a lot more than just these. But there's a lot of pointers that are leading me to take here the word of Christ being a specific part of God's word dealing with the Christ, the believer's position in the body of Christ with Christ as the head. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:12. And that's where we find the definition of the Christ. And so this is where and so in 1 Corinthians 12:12, now, and this is a verse where if you haven't written in the article, I would suggest you do, because it is in there in the Greek, and it's pretty obvious if you've studied Greek at all that it should be there. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the Christ." And so here we're talking about, in the context here, members of the body of Christ were one with one another and were one with Christ as the head. We're part of a single entity known as the Christ. Paul calls it here the Christ. And you can see that believers gain entrance into this new entity by spirit baptism. "For by one spirit were we all baptized into one body, And so that's the baptism that's important. It's spirit baptism, whereby the Holy Spirit baptizes or immerses the believer into Christ. And we become a part of the body of Christ. And so we're many members, yet we're one body, and there's one head. And Christ is the head of the body. And so let's just go back to Colossians. In Colossians 1:8. I'm sorry, 1:18. And so in Colossians 1:18, this is in reference to Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church. And so a couple things here. You see, the body is the church is the body, and Christ is the head. And so that's what makes up the Christ. And so this is where we're one with one another and one with him as the head. And that's one of the emphases of Paul in this epistle to the Colossians, is Christ as the head of the body. And so when we come back to our Colossians 3:16, then, and he says, let the word of the Christ, concerning the Christ, he says, dwell in you richly. And this word for dwell, it's not just oikeo, but it's en oikeo. Now oikeo just means to make at home, to live in at home. And so here we have the en preposition, which is in, and so it just has the idea to inhabit, to make one's home, to dwell. Just to be at home. And so what he's really saying here, he's saying, let the word concerning the Christ, let it be at home in you. And so he's saying this, and this is an imperative. Let the word concerning the Christ continuously be at home and at ease in you. And so this is important for the Christian. Now, Paul's looking at this from the Christian's point of view here as to what our role is in staying spiritual. We're going to have to continuously let the word concerning the Christ just be at home. Continuously be at home, he says, in you richly. And so he uses this word, this adverb, how is the Christian going to let the word concerning the Christ be at home in them richly. This is the adverb, richly, abundantly, kind of the idea of abundantly. Really what he's saying here is continuously be saturated with the word concerning the Christ. And so the word concerning the Christ. Now, there's a lot of things Paul's laid out in this little epistle concerning Christ. We have a couple passages dealing with Christ in the believer. And so just look at a couple of those. And over in Colossians 1:27, Paul said, to whom thee God desired to make known, experientially known, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ in the believer is the believer's hope of glory. He's the one that's going to get us there. Christ in us is the guarantee that we will ultimately match up to God's opinion of who we are in Christ. He also said over in Colossians 3:11, and so you have in him, and then you have neither is Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. So you don't have these distinctions in Christ. We're all equal. We don't have these kinds of distinctions that the world makes. We don't have these distinctions in the body of Christ. But then he says, Christ is all and in all. And so all Christians have Christ in them. And he's the hope of glory, of matching up to God's opinion. And so all Christians have potential, you might say. All Christians have everything they need in order to live out Christ. Well, when it comes to the Christian's part in doing that, our position in Christ becomes very important. And so I want to look at some verses that in Colossians that deal with our position in Christ. And because it's an important theme in this epistle. And so let's look at that. Because when Paul says, let the word concerning thee Christ, let it inhabit you, let it be at home and at ease in you, richly, abundantly, just with wealth. Like I said, saturated. There's a lot just in this epistle alone concerning the Christ. When we understand our position, the Christ as being Christ as the head and the body, and that being one new entity, and we have a position in that. And so the word concerning that is what I believe Paul is saying, to let that be at home in you continuously. And so let's look at some of these truths in Colossians dealing with the believer's position in Christ. Let's go to Colossians 1:2. It says, and to the saints and faithful brethren, to the set apart ones and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace is to you. So we have saints and faithful brethren in Christ. In 1:4, Paul said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. And so we have faith in Christ Jesus. Let's just go over to 1:14. In whom we have complete redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so again, here we see in whom we have complete redemption. These are words concerning the Christ that have to do with our position in him. And in reference to the body. Now in I read Colossians 1:27. Let's go to Colossians 1:28. So we, from verse 27, we see Christ in the believer is the hope of glory. Now we see Paul here says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. And so this wisdom is just putting knowledge into correct use, and that should affect behavior. And so here Paul says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. And so when we were baptized into Christ, we were placed as mature sons. The Father sees us as mature in Christ. As we live in present tense salvation, hopefully we're allowing God to grow us and to move us more and more towards that end. And so here you see Paul, he exerts quite a bit of effort and energy according to God's working to this end. Now in Colossians 2:3, in whom, and this probably going back to Christ, but it could go back to Christ and the Father, but either way, it definitely includes in Christ. And so in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so this is, and you can see why Paul would be writing this particular thing, because the heresy that's in the area is that there were other areas, philosophy and legalistic principles that could add to their salvation, and that was That was the danger. Here Paul tells them, it's in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There isn't anything outside of Christ that you need or that's going to add to your salvation. Now, let's go ahead and read 2, 5, and 6. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And so here we see the imperative to walk in Him. In Colossians 2:7, we'll continue on. Having been rooted and being built up in Him, and being established by the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Of course, in 2:9 we see that in Him dwells all the fullness of deity bodily. In verse 10, and you are complete. You are made fullness. You are in a state of being filled in Him. And so God in Christ, really, He's supplied us. He couldn't do any better than what He's done. So you are made fullness in Him, who is the head of all principality and authority. And now in 2:11, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. And so again, going back to in Christ, in whom? In 2:12, we see that it's in Him that we are co-raised. It says co-buried with Him by baptism. Not wherein, but in whom also you are co-risen. And so co-risen with Him through the faith of the energizing of God, who has raised Him out from dead ones. I made reference to 3:18 already. In 3:18, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as it is fit. It just says it is fitting. It's proper in the Lord. And so the Lord here in the Lord, making an emphasis on His Lordship as the head of the body. In 3:20, we read that also, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so, it's an end preposition, and so that should actually be well-pleasing in the Lord. In the Lord. And let's just look at a couple others. Over in 4:7, Paul makes reference to Tychicus. It says, in my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Just a fellow servant, though, in the Lord. Related to Christ as the head in the body, part of the Christ. And in 4:17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And so again here, Archippus, as a member of the body, received, I believe, this ministry to be pastoring the church at Colossae. And it's under the lordship of the head of the body. And so, just a couple things there. Now, there's some other ones we could look at. We could look at it from a different... but those are just some of the in Christ truths that are laid out in Colossians, dealing with the body. But we also have some truths that we could pivot off of the soon preposition. And so I want to just point out some of those. And some of those we just passed over, but... when we look at the soon preposition, and as Pastor Dave mentioned, we're starting to look at some of those in prayer meeting, and we're just introducing it. But the soon preposition just is used to describe a close association or an intimate closeness that we have with one another and with Christ in the body of Christ. And so in Colossians 2:12, I think we already looked at Colossians 2:12, but you can see these soon prepositions used in a Greek compound word. And it says co-buried just has the idea of buried intimately together with. And so with him, by the baptism, in whom also you were co-raised. And so we've been raised intimately together with him. And so this is looking at our position in the body of Christ as being a part of the Christ. Over in Colossians 2:20, here we have a soon preposition. It says, wherefore, if or since you be, since you died with Christ, since you died closely associated, intimately together with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. And so here, again, soon used in reference to our togetherness with Christ. In Colossians 3:1, since you be co-risen with Christ. And so again, here's our soon preposition used with agero, to raise, intimately together. And so I just translate it as co-risen. Since you be co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where the Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your reflective thinking on things above, not on things on the earth. And so, of course, the things above relate to your position in Christ. Since you be co-risen intimately together with him, set your reflective thinking on those things related to your position with him above. In 3:3, we see, for you died, and your life is hid with the Christ. And so here we see the believer's resurrection life. It says, for you died, and your life is hid intimately together with the Christ. That with there is a soon preposition. Intimately together with the Christ in the God. And so the believer has a position in Christ, as being part of the Christ. He also, as a result, has a position in the Father. And so our resurrection life is hid intimately together with the Christ in the God. And of course, in 3:4, I believe looking forward to the rapture, we see when Christ, he's our eternal life. When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him, intimately together with him. It's not just associated with him, but it's intimately together with him in glory. And so, you know, and these are just in this small epistle looking at some of the things dealing with our position in Christ and some of the truths dealing with our being a part of the Christ, one with one another and one with Christ as the head. And so when Paul says, let the word concerning the Christ dwell, just indwell, just let it make its home in you continuously, richly, abundantly. Kind of the idea is, let the word concerning these truths, let it just be in you and saturated in you. He says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves. In all wisdom. Now here we see a reference to wisdom. And wisdom is just correct knowledge, correctly applied, ultimately leads to correct behavior. And so wisdom is a very important term used in this epistle to the Colossians. If we just go back to Colossians 1:9, here we can see Paul had received information and Epaphras had declared their love by the Spirit in verse 8 unto him. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease praying for you and asking in order that you might be filled with the full experiential knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord into everything pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and growing in the full experiential knowledge of God." And so, in order for these believers to do that, Paul knows that they're going to have the right kind of knowledge, the right kind of base knowledge, and then they're going to have to learn how to correctly apply that knowledge to meet the circumstances. And then they can, as they do that, they can have a full experiential knowledge of his will and a spiritual understanding of that, and they can walk worthily of the Lord. We can see wisdom again referenced, I think it's used 6 times in Colossians, but I'll just go to one other place as an illustration, is over in Colossians 4:5. Paul says, "Walk in wisdom. Order your life in wisdom." Paul knows that these believers have a certain amount of knowledge pertaining to the Christian life. And he's confident that they have accurate knowledge because they're spirit-filled, they're loving, they're and he says, so walk in wisdom, just correctly applying knowledge to behavior towards them that are without, redeeming the time, just buying up the time. We've been called to our salvation, and we're here but for a short time, and to be redeeming the time, just buying up the time, buying up the opportunities. Anyway, coming back to our Colossians 3:16 passage, and he says, "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves." Now, I'm going to translate it that way. I know your English translation is probably going to be, it's probably going to read, "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." But this isn't a reciprocal pronoun. This is a reflexive pronoun. They translated the same reflexive pronoun as yourselves in a very similar context over in Ephesians. And so he says, "In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves," he says, "in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing by grace in your hearts to the Lord." And so teaching here and admonishing. And the word admonishing, it has the idea of just literally putting to mind to warn. So teaching and admonishing yourselves. And here we have the reflexive pronoun. In other words, what he's saying is, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves. How is a Christian going to teach and admonish themselves in all wisdom? Well, in the context, he's talking about by being spiritual. By being spiritual, we're Christians are cooperating with the Holy Spirit, who is the ultimate teacher. And so spiritual Christians are in a position to be Spirit-taught. And so let's just go and take a look at a couple places where we can see this. Let's go back to 1 John. In 1 John 2:27, But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And so the anointing, it goes back to verse 20, talking about the Holy Spirit. And you need not that anyone teaches you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as not it, but he, the Holy Spirit is a person, so I translate it he, and even he has taught you, abide in him. Be at ease in Christ. The Holy Spirit's going to, he teaches the believer to be at ease in their position in Christ. Now let's go ahead and connect this back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're going to see some interesting things here about a Christian and who was spiritual and a person who's not a Christian. That scripture Paul refers to here as a soulish man. So let's go to 1 Corinthians and I'll pick up in chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, which is out from God as the source, that, or just in order that, we might know the things that are graciously given to us by God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual words with spiritual things. And so, and this is would be true of all Christians, have the potential to be Spirit-taught. Now, Paul's going to make reference to the unsaved man. And so he says, but the natural man is the soulish man. This ikos ending here just has the idea of pertaining to or having the characteristics of the soul. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he experientially know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so there's some things there, but we can see the soulish man doesn't have the Spirit from God. And so he's not going to be able to relate to spiritual things. And so now, but in verse 15, here we see the reference to the spiritual Christian. But he that is spiritual, King James reads, judges. It just discerns all things. Yet he himself is discerned of no man. Now we come back and in verse 16, and this is dealing with Christians, for who has experientially known the mind of the Lord? Question mark. And so I'll just say this. In the Greek manuscripts, we don't have punctuation. And so when you see that in a Greek text, or you see that in the original, you didn't have punctuation. And so when you see that in your English text or the Greek text, that's going to be from context. And so this question mark, I would move this here. For who has experientially known the mind of the Lord? Question mark. Who has experientially known the mind of the Lord? Well, here's the one that has experientially known the mind of the Lord. The answer is the one, not that may be instruct him, but it's the one that will be knitted together with him. And so this is our word, sumbabidzo. I would just translate it, knitted together with him. Then he says, but we have a quality of the mind of Christ. We have a quality of the mind of Christ, a new potential. Now I want to just go back to this term, knitted together. Because Paul used the same term in Colossians a couple times. And so he asked the question here in 1 Corinthians 2, who has experientially known the mind of the Lord? Just the one that will be knitted together with him. That's the answer. Now let's go back to Colossians and go to Colossians 2:2. And so in Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be comforted, being knitted together by love. And so here we see that the this being used, this is the same word, speaking of Christians, being knitted together by love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the full experiential knowledge of the mystery of God, even the Father, and of the Christ. Now, he is also uses the same term over in Colossians 2:19. And so in 2:19, here we see that there was a problem for some of these false teachers, you know, bringing in heresy, and they weren't grasping the head. Christ is the head. He's the head of the body, but he's also the head of all power and authority. And so here we see, in not holding or grasping the head, out from whom, just out from as the source, whom all of the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, being knit together. And so it's out from the body, though, by the joints and bands are being supplied and are being joined together, knitted together, grows with the growth of God. And so anyway, just pivoting off that 1 Corinthians 2:16 passage, who has experientially known the mind of the Lord, the one that will be knit together with him. And so in Christ, we are one with him. We're part of the new entity, the Christ. But in present tense, we are continuing to be knit together with one another in him. Now, when we come back into our Colossians 3:16 passage here, it says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves. He says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing by grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, I mentioned that this is a reflexive pronoun. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves. In other words, by being spiritual, cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And so, here in this Colossian passage, Paul seems to be emphasizing this from a little different perspective than he does over in Ephesians. So I want to go to a similar passage over in Ephesians, in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, Paul emphasizes being filled by the Spirit. And there's natural results that come from being filled by the Spirit, where the Spirit makes up where we lack. Well, here in Colossians, Paul is emphasizing the Christian's responsibility of allowing the Holy Spirit to fill them by saying, continuously let the word concerning the Christ be at home in you, richly. And so you'll see that as we go to Colossians 5. Let's tie this into Ephesians 5:18. Excuse me. And stop being drunk with wine, where is unsavingness, but be filled by the Spirit. Now, as we come into verse 19, speaking to yourselves. There's our reflexive pronoun translated yourselves, just as I suggested we should translate it in Colossians 3:16. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The same three things that we have over in Colossians 3:16 in the same order. And so, and this all goes back to speaking. These are participles that all relate back to the verb filling. being continuously, constantly be filled. It's a passive. Somebody else is doing the filling. Be filled, though, by the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies, or melody, just that's the King James, just psalming in your heart to the Lord. And so here you see it's similar with just a little different emphasis. Here you see we're getting a similar result. The emphasis, though, is on being filled by the Spirit. Over in Colossians, here we have the emphasis is on the believer, though, letting the word concerning the Christ inhabit or dwell in them richly. And then we have in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves, it says, by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, what are these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs by which Christians should be teaching and admonishing themselves in all wisdom? Well, I'm not suggesting you go out and you memorize your hymn book and you memorize the book of Psalms. That's not what Paul is suggesting here. Now, when we come to Psalms, though, when we think of the book of Psalms, remember the book of Psalms is basically a book of praise. A book of praise. And so, and this is all dealing with mental activities and that are of divine origin. And so the spiritual Christian, by Psalms, he's talking about connecting, really, of praise, just words of praise, connecting and communicating through thoughts and mental activity, a benefit with an attribute of God. And so God makes benefits possible. And we can connect those benefits to certain attributes. And so when God gives us an inner well-being that leads to happiness, we can connect that to God's attribute of goodness. And so forth. And so the Psalms dealing with praise, hymns. Now hymns, there's just really, when we think of hymns, when we sing hymns, you know, hymns just goes back to just announcing the character of God. And so giving Him His full weight. These are words of worship. And so these hymns relate to worship. So we have and this is how we're to be teaching and admonishing ourselves, by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so spiritual songs, here we have the ikos ending, just songs that are pertaining to or having the characteristics of the Spirit. The Spirit is the divine source, you might say. And so these are all relating to Spirit-filled Christians. These are mental activities. And so the Spirit-filled Christian has his mental activities affected by the Holy Spirit. And so as we allow that Holy Spirit to participate in our mental activities, we can be psalming and hymnizing and having spiritual songs. Now, these aren't official songs, but as the Holy Spirit puts together in our thought process, praise, thoughts of praise, words of worship, and spiritual songs, it does form a melody that would be pleasing to the head. And so when we continue on, he says, singing by grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing by grace. How are you going to sing by grace? Well, you're going to have to be spiritual. You can't sing by grace when you're bootstrapping it. or when you're carnal. Now, the singing here, you don't need to have a good voice to do this kind of singing, thankfully. Because I'd be in trouble here. But this is, he says, singing in your hearts. Remember your hearts, your mind, emotions, and your will. And so this is natural for a Spirit-filled Christian. This is a natural result of being Spirit-filled. Singing in your hearts to the Lord. Now, there's a textual problem here, whether it should be to the Lord or to the God. Over in Ephesians 5:19, we have singing and psalming in your hearts to the Lord. And in here, we have a textual problem, and there's kind of a split here. The context fits it probably being Lord because of the emphasis of the head. And we do know our communication is to the Father. And so we'll see that in the next verse, is that naturally the Spirit-filled Christian should want to communicate to the Father from the right hand. Now, I do want to take you, though, coming back. And so what I'm suggesting, when Paul says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that these are mental activities that are a result of being Spirit-filled, and that the Holy Spirit is participating in our mental activity. And so let me just illustrate this. If we just go back to Romans 8:5. So in Romans 8:5, here Paul writes, "For they that are measured by the flesh, they do mind or reflectively think the things from the flesh. But they that are measured by the Spirit, the things from the Spirit, they reflectively think." Now in verse 6 he says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Just literally, the result of a frame of mind from the flesh is death. But the result, I'm translating the ma ending on the phonema for reflective thinking. The result of a frame of mind from the Spirit is life and peace. Is life and peace. Now remember what Paul had said in Colossians 3:15, he said, "Let the peace from Christ rule as an umpire, or just let it preside in your hearts, to which also you have been called in one body. And be ye," or keep on coming to be, "thankful ones." And so, now, there's a couple other places we could go here in Romans dealing with the Spirit and how he works in the realm of our mental activity. Let's just look at a couple. Let's look at Romans 8:15. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of son placement, whereby we cry, Father, Father. The Spirit himself bears co-witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And since children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we co-suffer with him, that we may also be co-glorified together." Now over in, let's just go to Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And so, anyway, just trying to piece some of this together and connect this. And so singing in your hearts by grace to the Lord. And so I'm going to, now we're going to come to Colossians 3:17, and he says, and whatsoever, just in everything, whatever you may do, in word or in deed, he says, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so here, do all things, though, in the character of the Lord Jesus. And so Lord emphasizing his lordship, the head of the body, Jesus emphasizing his humanity. And so do all things, whatever you may do, in word or deed, in the character of the Lord Jesus. So we have to be spiritual to do that. Let's look at, let's go back to John 14:26. And here, looking forward to when he and the Father would send the Holy Spirit. Here we see in the upper room, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my character. He shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Of course, in verse 27, he says, peace I send to you, my peace I give. In John 15, 7 and 8, here John recorded the Lord's words. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, just be at ease in my love. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall be at ease in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide or at ease in his love. Okay. And so, do all things, though, in the character of the Lord Jesus. He says, giving thanks, continuously giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so, giving thanks. This is another natural response to being Spirit-filled. Giving thanks. And so he says, through him. Let's go back and see in Ephesians. I think we almost got there. But in Ephesians 5:18, you have these participles that follow the verb be continuously filled by the Spirit. And so giving thanks is one of those participles. It's a natural thing for a Spirit-filled Christian to be thankful. And so you see that in in Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, even the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think about giving thanks, though, to God the Father through him, that's looking at our position. That's looking at our being intimately together with Christ, that we're able to do that. We're able to communicate to the Father, but it's through Christ and our position in him as part of the body of Christ. And so we can see this if we just go to Ephesians 2:6. Let me read 2:5. And when we... even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he's raised us up together, and he's made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And so where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we're counted to be co-seated with him in the heavenlies. And so when we see continuously giving thanks through him, through Christ, to the Father sees that as coming from his right hand. And it's only because of the perfect work of Christ and the perfect salvation that he's supplied for us, that we can have a perfect relationship with the Father. And so all of this comes back really to Paul wanting to encourage these believers to continue on being Spirit-filled Christians, to not get sidetracked. He wants them to know that they are made fullness. They're made complete in him. There isn't anything that this world system, the world system's wisdom, there isn't any legal principles that can add anything to your salvation. We have a perfect salvation in Christ. We have a perfect standing before God in Christ. And Paul's encouraging these believers to continue to put on as an outer garment their position in Christ, and to apply their salvation to whatever they might face. And one of those things that's very important, and it kind of ties back to Colossians 3:2, where he said, set your reflective thinking on things above, related to your position in Christ, that's since you're co-risen, not on the things on this earth. Our citizenship is in the heavens. We're just the passing through. And so when we get to Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of the Christ, let it indwell you, let it inhabit you richly, abundantly. Be saturated with this. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves. And you have by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing by grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the character of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, even the Father, through him. And so we will we'll end there today. Next week for Christmas, I don't think I'm going to come in here and pick on the wives. but when we come back, we'll come back and probably look at this context of 18 through 21, looking at believers in their position in the family and how that relates to the head. But I think next week we will have a little different message. I'm kind of thinking about pivoting a little bit off of the soon preposition. But we'll see how that goes. So let's close. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be in your word and relating to these truths. And we just thank you for the salvation that you've provided, and for our position in Christ, and for that relationship we have to you through him. And we just pray that you'd continue to bless us through your word and to grow us as saints. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.